I am back for another episode of the Anxiety Rx podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Russell Kennedy, and I want to make sure that you don't suffer with anxiety the way that I did. I wish I knew this stuff 30, 40 years ago. It would have completely changed my life. This episode is about the power of belief and the freedom of faith, which sounds like, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, I'm healed. But faith is such an important part of healing from anxiety, because anxiety at its core is a loss of faith. Because typically what happened was, when we were younger, we lost faith in those that were supposed to look after us. Our parents, typically, who were supposed to see us, hear us, open to us, understand us, love us, and defend us. And a lot of times that just didn't happen, or we didn't share it with them because we were full of shame or something that prevented us from having that connection with our parents. Either way, we lose faith in the world. When you lose faith in your parents' ability to care for you, you start seeing the world as an unsafe place. And when you see the world as an unsafe place, it's very difficult to have a sense of security in that world and not develop anxiety, not develop worry or OCD or an eating disorder or anything, because that alarm in our system that not being taken care of when we're younger or not seeing the world as a safe place, that alarm stays with us until we actually unearth it, bring it to the surface, and start to metabolize it. Last podcast, I talked about the iceberg, and I've talked about this, I think, quite a bit, is the worries are the tip of the iceberg. The worries are the parts we can see. They're easily seen. And we start thinking, well, the worries are the cause of the anxiety, but they're not. What causes the anxiety is the sense of alarm that's held in our bodies from unresolved pain, typically in childhood. Not everything is trauma, but a lot of it is. That's the cause of the anxiety. And the alarm in our system causes all these intrusive thoughts, these warnings, what ifs, and worst case scenarios, and it makes them appear true. And this belief aggravates the alarm in the body and triggers the fear cycle, the alarm anxiety cycle. So the alarm in our bodies, the mind has to do something with that. The mind reads the body in this process called interoception, and it creates thoughts and worries that are completely consistent with this feeling of alarm that we probably had in our body since we were children. And then they loop on each other. So the worries create more alarm, and the alarm creates more worries, and we just get sucked into this cycle that we can't escape. So what worry does is it makes us believe in this imagined future, this warning, what if, worst case scenario that we've created as present day danger. All worry is about the future, but for some reason, our body in this state of alarm makes us feel like it's happening right now when it's not happening right now. It's just a projection of the future. So we imagine these future threats and then behave as if they're real and right now. And this illusion supported by this alarm in our body through this process called interoception, where the mind, specifically the insular cortex of the mind or the brain, is reading the body. And if the alarm is in the body, that insula moves us into the default mode and moves us into this protective self-referential state. We move into ourselves. We don't see other people so much. And this is why I think relationships suffer so much when someone has anxiety. They don't see the other person so much. They're only seeing their own survival, but they can appear quite normal. We anxious people are very, very good at hiding our anxiety, but the people we're with can feel it. They know when we're not connected. So this alarm impairs our rational brain, and it makes it hard for us to see these worries as fiction, as just figments of our imagination. And these worries make the alarm worse, which causes us to be less connected. It shuts down our social engagement system. So we can't, eye contact, tone of voice, positive voice, body language, facial expression is no longer there anymore, because we're in this alarm anxiety cycle and we don't feel connectable, if that's a word, connected to the people that love us, because we withdraw. And if you have anxiety, you know how hard it is to maintain a relationship when you're feeling alarmed. Because it's shut off your social engagement system. It's shut off the evolutionary system in us that helps us connect to other people. And this is why anxiety makes relationships so difficult, or one of the reasons why anxiety in relationships is so devastating, is it makes us separate from the people that we want to be close to. As a result of these warnings, what ifs, worst case scenarios, we flare up the alarm in our system. And that creates a sense that we can't connect to other people. We can't connect to ourselves, first of all, and we can't connect to other people. And when we can't connect to other people, it creates even more alarm, because that's basically what happened to us in childhood. We couldn't be connected to a parent or parents. So this alarm comes up and shuts off our ability to connect. with ourselves and with other people. And then the mind takes over and starts going, oh, I can help control this by worrying. But the thing about worries is they're only effective, and I use effective in quotation marks. They only work if you believe them. So I always tell this story about having a teenage boy and a teenage girl in exam rooms. And I tell each of them that they're pregnant. The boy laughs. Doesn't even affect him one bit. It's a joke. Hey, Jake, I think you might be pregnant. And we both laugh. Ha ha ha. But if I say, hey, Jill, I think you might be pregnant, she freaks out because she believes the possibility that that might be true. So the stress isn't from the thought itself, but from your belief in it, because your belief in it transmits into your body. So thoughts are always neutral until they're believed. So what I want you to do is see your thoughts and worries as neutral and give you the choice to believe them or not. Because what happens now is you get a worry and you automatically believe it because the alarm in your system has created a disconnect within you where your prefrontal cortex, your ability to discern worries, has been dampened somehow. So not only do we make more worries when we're alarmed, we shut off the part of our brain that would reassure us that these worries aren't really anything to worry about, which is one of the worst things that anxiety does, is it shuts off our ability to detect it. When we're worried, when we're scared, we have this addiction to certainty. And that's what worry does. Worry makes the uncertain appear more certain. And the anxious mind craves this certainty that it can never get. So it creates a worry to sort of be middle ground to kind of make it look like we know what's going to happen when we don't know what's going to happen. And this is especially true if you had trauma as a child. So when you create a worst case scenario, it offers this false sense of control. It probably worked when you were a child because often that worst case scenario never came to pass. So you learned how to condition yourself. Oh, if I worry about something, it's not going to happen. In the child's mind, that's how it works. If I worry about something and it doesn't happen, the child makes this sort of erroneous conclusion that the bad thing didn't happen because they worried, which makes worry even harder to avoid in the future because the childlike part of you believes that the worry is helping control your uncertainty, which is helping you feel better. But the worry is only making you feel worse. That's the problem with worry. So we'd rather feel prepared for pain than tolerate the discomfort of not knowing. So what we do is we prepare ourselves for pain by creating these warnings, what-ifs, and worst-case scenarios in an effort to try and save ourselves. But in believing those warnings, what-ifs, and worst-case scenarios, we create more alarm. So in that more alarm state, we have this increased sense that we want to control, so we worry more. So we get caught in this worry, alarm, anxiety, alarm cycle, and we can't get out of it. The more unconscious, the more reactive, the more triggered we are, the less rational we become, and the more we search for certainty. And how do we search for certainty? With worry. We use worry as a way of controlling the future in our minds. And worry can feel reassuring, especially if that's our coping strategy that we've used since we've been 5 years old. It gives a temporary hit of relief in the dopaminergic system of the brain when this uncertainty becomes more certain, or if we worry about something as a child and it doesn't happen. In the child mind, again, we believe at some deep, unconscious, magical level that the bad thing didn't happen because we worried, which of course makes us worry even more. So worry has this sense of false comfort. Through the dopamine system, we get a little dopamine hit from worry because our brain tells us, hey, you're on the right track. You're making sense of this. Yes, this pain could be a cancer. But when we believe that worry, it just keeps us sucked into this cycle that we can't get out of. So as I mentioned earlier in all my earlier podcasts, it's about allowing yourself to feel the alarm in your system and not add worry to it. Worrying is a trap that you'll never get out of. The comfort you get from worrying through the dopamine system is very short-lived, and it just perpetuates this cycle that makes you go more and more unconscious and less able to see that these worries are nothing to worry about. Chronic worry comes from this place where we feel the world is unsafe and uncertain. So we have to make it more certain by worrying about something. So if you had a chaotic childhood, this often leads to losing faith in the world as this safe place. So what we do is we worry to try and gain the safety that we never had in the first place. And in its place, we turn to control and vigilance and worry to try and control the uncontrollable, rather than just leaving the uncertain uncertain and staying in the faith that you can ground yourself in your own body, breathe into it, connect with the younger version of you, give them what they need, see them, hear them, open to them, understand them, love them, and defend them. That's what we do with the child in us. When we do that, we actually get at the root cause of the worry. And I sound like a broken record, because this is how we heal from anxiety, is we connect with that younger version of ourselves. That's how we heal. So it's really important to understand that you're creating this sense of internal exhaustion by trying to control the uncontrollable. But in your past, when you were younger, it had the illusion of working. But we don't have the energy to do that anymore. A child has a tremendous amount of energy to be able to kind of create these worries over and over and over again to sort of maintain this illusion of safety. But as you get older, you just exhaust yourself. And as you exhaust yourself, you create more alarm in your system, which makes you worry more, which creates more alarm in your system. And this is why alarm and anxiety tend to get worse as we get into our 30s and 40s. One of the things that I found really, really helpful for myself and for a lot of my patients is developing the sense of faith. And I don't mean religious faith, although people with religious faith do seem to have less anxiety because they feel like there is some force controlling their destiny, whereas a lot of us, when we didn't get our needs met as a child, we don't believe that there is some force helping us, because when we were children, that force wasn't there. So a sense of faith now feels kind of artificial on some level, because we have to create it. We didn't have it when we were younger, but we have it. We have access to it now. So when you use faith to meet uncertainty, it diffuses a lot of that uncertainty, because a lot of the uncertainty is craving you to give it the answer. But when you have faith, you just say, I have faith this is going to turn out. Now, you can look back on all the times that you were really worried and it didn't come true, or you can just stay in a sense of faith. You can just stay in sensation without explanation. You can just stay in that place where you don't need to compulsively add thoughts to anything. You can just stay with yourself. Put your hand on your chest. Breathe in. Imagine hugging the younger version of you. Connecting to that younger version of you that was hurt, that lost faith in the world. And the more you connect with that younger version of you, the more you show that younger version that you can have faith. You can have faith in me, adult me. I will look after you. I will see you, hear you, open to you, understand you, love you, and defend you. I will keep you safe as best I can, because the world is uncertain. But if you can learn how to embrace uncertainty, embrace that feeling in your body of alarm, if you can learn how to embrace that sense, you start to metabolize this before you start needing the certainty of worry. If you can just stay in the discomfort of the alarm in your body, you don't need to worry, because you don't need the distraction anymore, because you're handling the issue right at its source, which is this sense of uncertainty. And we get this throwback, this age regression to this time where we were uncertain, but we were helpless. But we're not helpless anymore. We're adults now. We're not in this place where we're completely dependent on our parent and we're 8 or 9 or 10 years old. We are now adults and we can make our own decisions, but the amygdala doesn't know that. So a lot of anxiety is this age regression. We feel when we're in this anxious state, probably the same way we did when we were 8 or 9 years old. So it's really reassuring that child and connecting with that child and breathing in and regulating your body and allowing that child to see that, yeah, that happened back then, but we're not back there anymore. And adult you is going to look after child you. And that's what lowers our alarm. And that's what ultimately allows the anxiety to just fade. And a critical point in this is that many of us with anxiety don't trust love, because that love when we were younger wasn't trustable. For whatever reason, the parent was abusive, they were abandoning, they're rejecting, whatever it was, that love wasn't trustable. So we need love to heal. We need love for our younger self to heal. So if we block that love, and we block that love out of a sense of protection, because when we loved as a child, and it didn't work out for us, if we wound up being codependent with a parent or looking after a parent more than the parent looked after us, if love was not safe on some level, we learn not to trust love. And our ego dragon tells us love is not safe. And when your ego dragon tells you that love is not safe and love is the only thing that allow you to heal from anxiety, you're also in this catch-22 that you can never get out of. So how do you learn how to love again? Well, you start with yourself. You start with connecting with that younger version of you. You start seeing that the younger version of you has all your best traits. Rather than judge that child because a lot of what we do is we judge the child in us for the pain that they went through. So we separate from them because we don't want to feel their pain. And as we separate from that child, we create a tremendous amount of alarm in that child's system. So the antidote is having faith that things will be okay, and having faith that you can reconnect with love, and having faith that you can reconnect with love with that younger version of you. Because when you start doing that, you start changing the step in the dance that love has never been safe. You start creating a safety in your own love for yourself, for the younger version of you. And when you can have that trust and connection in that younger version of you, the world starts feeling safe again. And the world, when it starts feeling safe again, drops that sense of alarm. And when that alarm sense drops, you don't worry so much anymore because you don't need to protect yourself from alarm because you're now getting to the root cause of the alarm, which is the inability to trust love. So when we start trusting love, and this has to be done gradually, it can't be done very quickly because the child in us won't trust the love that comes quickly. It has to be consistent. It has to be from adult you, and it has to be where they can feel it in their body, which is your body. So the more you can create this sense of love within you, within your body, that child starts to feel more safe and less likely to resist love. And again, this is where relationships break down, because if you're resisting love, if the child in you resists love, it's very difficult for your partner to love you, because if you don't feel safe being loved, you're going to go into an alarm spiral and you're going to reject them. Maybe not overtly, but they will feel it. And the more you connect with yourself, the more you learn how to create this love for yourself, the more you radiate that love out and the more love comes back to you, the more the alarm drops and the more your anxiety goes away. So here are the ways that you start creating this love for yourself. You start escaping from anxiety and alarm. And I call it ABCDE. So the first step is awareness. Always awareness. Realize what you worry about. Realize where you feel this pain in your body. Create this sense of awareness and knowing that the alarm in your body is creating the anxiety of your mind, and the anxiety of your mind is creating the alarm in your body in this cycle. And you need to break that cycle. And the best way to break that cycle is going in your body. Feel your body. Find the place of alarm. Put your hand over it. Breathe into it. Stay with it. Smell an essential oil. Bring yourself into present moment sensation. Because if you can bring yourself into present moment sensation, you can start opening up the doors to healing. And then create this compassionate connection to the younger version of you that needs it, that didn't get it. Again, broken record, see them, hear them, open to them, understand them, love them, and defend them. Show them that they are seen, heard, and loved, and will be forever. And once you do that, you start seeing that love is trustable. You develop a discipline in faith and love because you're creating it within yourself. And then the ego creates this sense like, oh, I don't have to be so overpowering. I don't have to make you worry immediately whenever there's a sense of uncertainty. I can stay with you. You can stay with yourself. And this may not make a whole lot of sense to you right now, but it's basically, I can stay with myself. I can stay with the younger version of me. I can stay with you. I can see you, hear you, and love you and protect you. That's really what it comes down to. It's not about analyzing your fears. It's about creating a sense of faith that you will trust love and connect with yourself. When you have trust within yourself, you don't have to believe everything you think. You can let the thoughts float in awareness. You are not your thoughts and worries. You are the one that observes your thoughts and worries without clinging or reacting. You are the objective observer. When you look at your worries in curious self-awareness, you gain a degree of separation from them. And they don't have the same power to control you because your prefrontal cortex is still online. When you use curiosity, you are actually using the prefrontal cortex, which keeps you grounded in the moment. So don't argue with anxiety when you're alarmed. You're never going to win that game. It's a matter of breathing into it, staying with it, regulating your body. It's much more effective to regulate your body, to regulate your mind, than it is to try and use your mind to regulate your body. It just doesn't work that well. To start to truly heal your anxiety, you have to redirect your attention from thoughts, the worries of your mind, those repetitive warnings, what ifs, and worst case scenarios, into the sensation of your body. And then when a worry tries to hook you and pull you back up into your head, you consistently stay with that feeling in your body, even if it's uncomfortable. Feel that physical sensation instead of feeding the thought. And if you practice sensation without explanation, you can stay present with that, even though it hurts. And then you develop this sense of, well, this hurts, but I can handle it. I don't immediately have to shoot up into worries. I can stay with it. And then when you can learn how to stay with the discomfort of alarm in your body, and you realize I don't have to add worries to this, then you break the cycle. Then you truly start to heal. So let's say you're catching yourself in worry. You're alarmed. You're ruminating on something. It seems to be getting stronger and stronger. So that's when we use our physical tools, the physiological side. Two quick sniffs in and a long, slow exhale. Physical touch. Put your hand on your heart. If you have an essential oil, breathe that in. You're trying to get yourself into the moment. And then you repeat to yourself, I am safe in this moment. In this moment, I am safe. I am safe in this moment. In this moment, I am safe. And even one moment of felt safety, truly felt safety, interrupts that alarm anxiety cycle, interrupts that worry loop. So it's grounding yourself in your body. Tapping will help. Physiological sigh will help. Putting your hand on your heart, breathing in an essential oil. These things all bring you into the present moment because your mind has transported you into the warnings, what ifs, and worst case scenarios of the future. When you bring yourself into the present moment and you feel your body, you are no longer in that future loop of pain and worry. And when you are no longer in that future loop of pain and worry, you can start to embrace uncertainty. You can see it as the spice of life. You can start gaining some control over it because uncertainty has been something that has controlled your life probably since you were a child. Uncertainty intolerance is really the root of anxiety. It's the root of thinking anxiety. The root of feeling anxiety is, of course, the alarm in your body. But when we experience uncertainty when we were children, it was unbearable. And I do think the amygdala has no sense of time. So whenever we experience something similar to what we went through as a child, we will regress back into this same bodily state of alarm that we had when we were maybe 5, 8, 10, 12 years old. So this uncertainty, we can start to embrace as fertile ground for growth because we can use uncertainty as a way of testing, how much better am I getting at this? Can I tolerate the uncertainty? I can tell you from personal experience, my ability to tolerate uncertainty now, as opposed to 5 years ago, is unbelievably different. It's so much better than it was. And the more you can tolerate the unknown, the more you become confident in facing life. The less that child in you has to flare up your anxiety and your alarm because you start realizing that uncertainty is a part of life and uncertainty allows me to grow. It gives me this chance every time to start healing my anxiety. When you embrace uncertainty, you are doing the opposite of what the anxiety wants you to do. And the anxiety is much to do with the child in you. So you reconnect your innocent self with your adult self. And you can become the safe parent that your inner child never had. And this internal relationship restores that lost sense of faith in the world. And it can soothe the alarm and dissolve this self-judgment that's been running probably in your default mode network, creating this constant sense of you're not good enough. You're not worthy. You can't do this. You shouldn't try this. You should stay away from this. As you ground in your body and you see that uncertainty and decide, yes, this is a challenge, but I'm going to embrace the challenge. I may not decide to go into it, but I can see the challenge there. I can see the uncertainty and embrace the uncertainty, not necessarily having to go in it. And then bringing faith into it that whatever happens, I'll be okay because I am connected to myself. I am whole within myself. And I know this sounds woo. I know it sounds woo, but out of 30 years of therapy, and I did every type of therapy, the thing that's helped me the most is just connecting with that younger version of me and seeing them, hearing them, open to them, understanding them, loving them, defend them. I know I repeat that over and over and over again because I really feel that that's the core of my healing is being able to connect with that younger version of me, having his alarm go off when we face uncertainty and me being able to soothe him and going, you know what? We got this. We can do this. This may be uncomfortable. And even in the discomfort, we are going to learn something. We are going to embrace the discomfort that we don't know, which is uncertainty, as opposed to getting into this discomfort that we do know, this chronic state of alarm in our body that is familiar. And human beings equate familiarity with security. So there's part of us that reproduces this alarm in our body because it feels familiar. And we falsely equate that sense of security with familiarity. And when you have faith, you're able to see that. You see that discomfort from uncertainty where you don't have to be it anymore. You can be curious about it. you can bring in the powers that you have now, the power of connection, smell an essential oil, take some physiological size, put your hand on your chest, take control of the situation in your body. Because when you do that, you start creating a sense of confidence in this sense that you can't handle this sense of alarm. It can be there, but you don't have to default up into worry anymore. And when you break that alarm anxiety cycle like that, you truly start to heal. In conclusion, we have to learn how to replace our automatic belief in our worries with a faith that we can handle uncertainty. Because when we believe our worries, that's what gives them its power. That's what gives them its teeth. And faith actually takes the teeth away from those worries. It allows us to see them with a confident prefrontal cortex as exactly what they are, false projections of the future. Because you can choose not to believe every anxious thought you have. You don't have to believe everything you think. I used to say that all the time at the start of my podcast or at the end of my podcast. You don't have to believe everything you think. But when you create faith in yourself, your body and life itself, this is where the magic happens. This is when you start healing. And it may be hard for you to understand now, especially if you're early in your anxiety recovery journey, but it can be done. I suffered with incredible anxiety that I wouldn't wish on anyone. And now my life is better than it's ever been before. I have worries. Certainly, worry is a part of life. You don't get rid of worries. You just don't give them the same credibility anymore. Once you start having faith and trusting that things will evolve the way they're supposed to. And sometimes some of the worst things that's happened to me have been, in retrospect, some of the best. And we don't know in advance what we worry about. And if it does actually come true on some level, has provided me with the best lessons of my life and has really enriched my life because it showed me that I can handle it. And you can handle it too. I think the biggest problem with anxiety is people believe unconsciously that they can think their way out. If I can just think a little farther, if I can just create a certain future, that I'll be safe. And that's a trap because that never ends. Uncertainty never ends and that worry never ends. So if you practice this ABC process, awareness of what you worry about, awareness of the feeling in your body, going into your body and breath, smelling an essential oil, bringing yourself into sensation without explanation in your body and creating this compassionate connection to the younger version of you, that is what will heal you. That's in a nutshell, that's what that has healed me. And awareness is your superpower. You can't change what you can't see. And you got to remember that nobody is coming to save you. You have to save you. And you can. And I'll see you next time. Thank you so much for listening to the Anxiety RX podcast. I created this show because I don't want you to have to suffer with anxiety the way that I did. And I truly wish I'd known this stuff 30 years ago. It would have changed everything for me. For more support, please explore my best-selling book, Anxiety RX, or my very affordable online program, MBRX. Remember, all anxiety is separation anxiety, and mostly separation from that hurt part of you. So keep holding on to that part of you that hurts, and I'll see you next time.